Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora koutou. Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air. I'm David and I'm an alcoholic and chair of today's meeting, brought to you on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And today's guests are from the Wellington Sunday Trades Hall Came to Believe meeting. And if we could, you could introduce yourselves, please.
Kia ora, my name's Pip, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Pip.
Hello, I'm Marion and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Marion.
Hey, Marion. And we open each AA meeting with the Serenity Prayer, and I invite you to join me in reading this now. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, organization or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Now, Pip was going to start the meeting today by reading us the first chapter from Came to Believe.
Yes.
So over to you, Pip.
Thanks, Hex. Kia ora. My name's Pip. I'm an alcoholic. On our Sunday meeting, which meets at 11 a.m. in the Trades Hall every Sunday, we read from a book called Came to Believe. And it was written a while ago. And it's the aim of it is to give a bit of a representation for the diversity of spirituality in Alcoholics Anonymous. So Alcoholics Anonymous is often referred to as a spiritual program, but sometimes there's a very wide range of those kind of spiritual experiences that people have in AA. So I'm just going to read a story which is called In His Own Individual Right. So each one of these stories is written by a different person in AA. So I'll read the first little bit and then Marion will read the next bit. So In His Own Individual Right. Spirituality is an awakening, or is it all the loose ends woven together into a mellow fabric? It's understanding, or is it all the knowledge one needs ever know? It's freedom, if you consider fear slavery. It's confidence, or is it the belief that a higher power will see you through any storm or gale? It's adhering to the dictates of your conscience, or is it a deep, genuine, living concern for the people and the planet? It's peace of mind in the face of adversity. It's a keen and sharpened desire for survival. It's a man or a woman. It's gratitude for every happenstance of the past that brought you to this moment of justice. It's the joy of being a young man in a young world. It's awareness, or is it realization of one's capabilities and limitations? It's concentration, or is it an easy sensing of the universe?
It's seeing a mystical power for good in each and every human being. It's patience in the face of stupidity. It's feeling that you want to knock somebody's head off and walking away instead. It's when you're down past your last dime and you know you still have something that money can't buy. It's wearing dungarees that feel like a tuxedo. It's wanting to go home yet being there. It's a rocket ride that goes far beyond the world your eye can see. It's looking at something that superficially is ugly, but radiates beauty. It's a majestic skyline or a western desert. It's a young child. It's seeing a caterpillar turn into a butterfly. It's the awareness that survival is a savage fight between you and yourself. It's a magnet pull toward those who are down and out. It's knowing that even the bad times are good. Don't look back. You haven't seen anything yet. When people look at you and wonder what's with you, the look in your eyes will answer them, because I can cut it. The singular thing that is spiritually, the singular thing that is spirituality cannot be given to a fellow man by word of mouth. If every man is to have it, then every man must earn it in his own way, by his own hand, stamped by the seal of himself in his own individual right. And that's by New York, New York.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marianne. And this is the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air, coming to you on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Alcoholics Anonymous, of course, is here to help you. You can contact AA at any time. For example, the website is aa.org.nz. That's aa.org.nz. The website is really good. It has lots of information about AA, list of every meeting in Wellington and in the country by every day of the week. And there are meetings everywhere all over the country every day of the week, and lots of other information. You could also phone AA at any time. That's at 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 6757. I'll just say that again, 0800 229 6757, and you can speak to somebody from AA and ask about anything, find out about meetings, get information, or you can, even if you like, send an email, that old-fashioned thing called an email, and that's at help@aa.org.nz. So just straight out, help@aa.org.nz. Now we've come to sharing for the meeting, and I think we will perhaps start today with Pip.
Kia ora.
Welcome, Pip.
Thank you. Kia ora, my name's Pip. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Pip.
Yeah, hi. I'm really grateful to be sober today. Like, it's Saturday morning. It's about 10:20. And, to be sober on a Saturday morning at 10:20 is not really my natural way. Without Alcoholics Anonymous, I can't really be sober on a Saturday morning. I mean, at the end, I drank every day, all the time, pretty much. I probably had about an hour's sobriety in the morning while I caught the bus at 8 o'clock or something like that. But at the end of my drinking, I was drinking all the time, and it ruined. Yeah, it was ruining my life. And I couldn't stop, and it was frightening. And that's not where my drinking started. I think that's really important for me to see, is that this is a progressive disease. I started drinking to try and get comfort. I couldn't sleep as a child, and I took a drink to try and sleep one night. I came from a family where there was a lot of alcohol around, and I was up and not able to sleep and tossing and turning, and I just, the thought came into my head that a gin would fix it. Like, I just thought, oh, I need a gin, you know. I don't know, I'm like an 8-year-old madman kind of, oh, I need a gin. So I went upstairs and I poured myself a gin, and it's like the whole world just came into place. Like, everything made sense. It was just, and I think, I'm not sure non-alcoholics feel that way when they have a drink. Like, I see them like taking a bit of a drink and leaving it. But from that moment on, all I wanted was alcohol. And of course, at that age, it was almost impossible to get alcohol. So, I started taking, I used to get migraines, so I would start taking codeine-based painkillers. I was drinking vanilla essence. I was sneaking alcohol whenever I could. And then, as soon as I got to high school, it really started full on. Like, and I just started drinking and drinking. Every time I solved a problem with alcohol, I never did it sober again. Like, the first time I went to a job interview drunk, I never went to a job interview sober again. The first time I went to school drunk, I never went to school sober again. I think the thing was that sober, I just felt very restless, irritable, and discontent. Like, I just felt nasty in the world and wrong. And I kept thinking that alcohol would do for me what it did that first time. You know, the first time that I drank when I had that gin to try and sleep, I really thought that it would give me the comfort that it gave me there, but it never did again. Like, it never gave me that comfort again. Sometimes I'd get it on the way up, but I couldn't stop at the comfort level. I'd just keep drinking. And then, you know, the drink, what happened for me at the end of my drinking is that it stopped making me feel better. It actually ended up making me feel worse. You know, like I would drink and still be frightened. I would drink and still be lonely. I would drink and just still be angry. And I'd just drink and drink and drink, and nothing was working. And of course, my health started falling to pieces, you know. And I started getting delirium tremens, like when I was 24. I was a wreck. There were days where I couldn't light my cigarette in the morning, and that's when I started drinking just all day. I don't know whether it was like top up, but I was just, you know, I would hide alcohol on my person and just drink it throughout the day. And that was when I hit rock bottom, was when I was 24. And I'm very grateful. Sometimes I think I should be grateful for the good things that happened in my life, but a very bad thing happened in my life. I behaved extremely badly, and I threw a chair across the room, and I threatened to punch someone. And, you know, at that point, the other person in the room was a person from Alcoholics Anonymous, and she took me for a walk and talked to me about her drinking. And we were at the Botanical Gardens in Christchurch. It was beautiful. And she said to me, "Have you ever thought drinking's the problem?" And I said to her, "I've always wondered that." And I'd never wondered that. Like, alcohol had always seemed like a solution, not a problem. And this one thing that came out of my mouth said along this set of circumstances, which meant that I was in an AA meeting within a week. And something happened in that AA meeting where I sort of just thought, you know, like, I think if I'd had anywhere else to go, I would have gone, but I had no friendly person I could call. No one would extend me credit. You know, like, I just had nowhere to go. And I feel very grateful that I sat in that meeting and hated it. I hated Alcoholics Anonymous when I first got there. But one person said, "I've had a really bad day today and I haven't had to drink." And I just thought, oh my Lord, is that a possibility? You know, is that a possibility to have a bad day and not have a drink? And yeah, I guess what it's like today, you know, I feel grateful for that intervention, you know, that someone took the time to talk to me. And that to me is kind of, you know, we're talking, that reading talked a little bit about the different types of spirituality there are. And I'm pretty sure that that person acting better than they felt on that day was spirituality in action. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if she believed in God, but like, she thought to herself, this person needs my help. She cancelled a lunch date and took me for a walk. And I just think that's, yeah, I think through working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which we might read later, you know, I've had a spiritual awakening. Something that was asleep in me is awake now. And yeah, I feel different in the world. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel restless, irritable and discontent that much anymore. And if that does come up, I do have this quiet place inside of me where I can go and just be still. And I think that to me is probably my higher power, is just to cut out the middleman of my brain. And yeah, and the fact that something kept me sober till this time makes me kind of want to pray to that thing as well. Like, I'm very happy just to pray to whatever it was that kept me sober yesterday. And, you know, it's all about action. That's what I love most about this program, is that it's about action. I don't actually have to believe anything. So, yeah, I feel incredibly grateful to be with you too. And, yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share. Thanks heaps.
Thanks, Pip.
I think we should go on to talking about the 12 steps in a moment. Kia ora koutou. I'm David, and I'm an alcoholic. And just reminding you, this is Alcoholics Anonymous on the air on Wellington Access Radio at 106.1 FM. And this program is on every fourth Saturday. So the next one is in four Saturdays from now. I've got here in front of me How It Works, which we often start AA meetings with. If I read the first part of it, I could pass it to Pip or Marion to read the 12 steps, and then either Pip or Marion can read the closing part, if that works. So this is How It Works, which is, we have at many, many Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person who is fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. But some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result has been nil till we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought.
Thanks, Pip. And just a reminder, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And you can contact AA by phone at 0800 229 6757, or go to the AA website, which is www.aa.org.nz. I'll just repeat that one again because it's a very good website, aa.org.nz. Now, can we ask Marion to share now, please?
Thank you. I'm Marion and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Marion.
Hey, Marion.
I was up at 4:15 this morning, dropping a friend off to the airport. And that's a first for me, for after many, many decades of drinking, not only to be able to wake up at that hour, but to wake up and feel semi-normal. So it's been quite an experience already today. But it's these sorts of times that I find really useful because they're a constant reminder of why I'm in the program and what I was doing or not doing before I came into AA. I'm a seasoned drinker of over 40 years, and so I, through most of my early drinking, it was considered to be normal in air quotation marks because everyone else was doing it, and so I wasn't any different from anyone else. And I probably wasn't in those days in my late teens and early 20s. I think probably as I came into my late 20s, I started to perhaps notice that there were some differences in the way that I drank to others. I could certainly drink a lot more than most other people. I was a lot less fussy about what I drank. And it was just for me, I would never have considered going out or socialising at all without drinking. And I realised as well, of course, that alcohol was the social lubricant. It made me funny, well, in my eyes anyway. It made me less shy, and it made me, I could mix and mingle far more easily if I'd been drinking than if I hadn't been. And as we've talked about and as is written, it's a progressive disease. So while the first 10 years it was pretty, normal or certainly excusable, and I was rubbing along with everyone else doing roughly the same things, I think the second decade became a little more, there was a light sort of starting to go on for me. It was a flickering light. It wasn't any major realisation. But it was things like when I was pregnant and I had to stop drinking, and that was just assumed that that would be the normal thing. And I did stop drinking, but I turned a bit crazy. And I put it down to being pregnant. And, of course, now looking back, it was the fact that, going cold turkey and not drinking, I was very unnormal. I was drinking more regularly later on, and I was it just became a necessary part of life. I think going into the third decade, it was very much entrenched. It was everyday life. But still at those times I was called, and I actually don't like the term functioning alcoholic, because I don't think I was functioning very well at all. Thoroughly dysfunctional and became more so. But on the outside, I had the children, had the house, had a dog, and had a job, had a car, all the trappings of what would be seen as a normal life. But it, by that stage, was a daily drinker. I couldn't go without a day. I couldn't go a day without alcohol. And it was, as alcoholics will admit, it starts off, it's only a couple of glasses, and then it increases. The fourth decade was when, the training wheels really came off. And that was when I think the cracks really started to show. But because I'd been so used to controlling it, and because I'd been so used to being seen to be functioning, and I had a good paying job and all that kind of thing, I was a master at masking, an absolute master at it. So no matter how dreadful I felt in the morning, I managed to brush it off and somehow get myself out the door. And learning all the little tricks of the trade, when you're trying to pour your coffee, doing it nonchalantly with both hands, because one hand's going to mean that you slop the coffee all over the bench. So all those little things, not looking at people in the eye because your eyes are so bloodshot, you don't want people noticing. And I think as I became a more chronic alcoholic, the things that started to really fall apart were my relationships, particularly my relationships with my children and my partners. and just slowly but surely, very unlike a butterfly or a chrysalis, but I shed relationships and shed all the good things in my life until it just came down to me. And I remember one of the first times I heard being in an AA meeting when someone said that alcoholism is the disease of loneliness. And it was such I've had so many light bulb moments being in the program, but that was certainly one of the first, because I thought, oh, it's not just me. Mm. It's not just me sitting, having completely isolated myself because all I wanted to do was drink. And feeling, you know, the isolated, lonely, all the really bad emotions that go with it, hopeless. And so to hear that I was one of many was just an amazing feeling of the first steps of believing I'm no longer alone. Like there are other people here that I have these things in common with. And I remember I went to a rehab first off, and it was just a moment of absolute desperation where I reached out and was fortunate enough to be able to get into a rehab fairly well straight away. And it was the first time it was something like 37 years that I'd been able to not have a drink for more than 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came out of rehab, felt $1 million. I'd had all this wonderful knowledge shared with me about addiction and, you know, the some strategies for dealing with it, and I just felt bulletproof. And there was a voice in the back of my head that went, gosh, you know, that was worth the money, because now I'm cured. And it was like, wow, fantastic. Exactly what I needed, because what I liked about going into rehab was no one needed to know, mm-hmm. obviously, except for the people that I was there with. And all I could, you know, and I could tell my work that, you know, I had a dreadful sickness, and so I could get sick leave off work. And so it was all very secretive, and I came out the other end after a month of being cured. I thought, this is amazing. If only I'd known earlier. So that amazing feeling of feeling cured and feeling that I really had a grip on life lasted, I think, for 2 weeks. And then and I did the classic of, oh, it's a sunny day, I'm driving around the South Coast, I think I'll just pop in and get a bottle of Chardonnay because I'm worth it and it's a sunny day. And so for the next 2.5 years, I relapsed. I continued to go to AA. Sometimes I was sober, a lot of the times I wasn't. And I don't know what it was that kept me coming to AA. I had sponsors, but my sponsors really had this, you know, they kept saying to me, you know, it's a really good idea if you actually stop drinking. And I thought it was a really unreasonable request because I couldn't. And I'd wake up every morning and go, today will be different, except it wasn't. But something kept pulling me back to AA. And when I got to a point where I was absolutely bored with myself, sick of hearing myself, sick of hearing myself tell the excuses about why I just had to, you know, have that little cheeky vodka, I'd had enough of myself. And I'm pretty sure my sponsor, who was a third by that stage, had enough of me as well. And she said to me, you know, I should, a good idea, because she's very, very, very good. She doesn't tell me what to do. She said a good idea would be if you rang me before you pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And by that stage, I'd built up a pretty good relationship with her, and I was honest enough to say, look, there is no way I'm going to do that. because it's just going to slow down the process if I ring you, because once I've decided to pick up, there's nothing stopping me from doing it. So picking up the phone to you is just something not going to happen. And it was when I lost my job and I thought that this was going to be it. It was open slather, 24/7, bring it on. And there was a small voice in the back of my head that said, at this rate, Marion, you're going to kill yourself. And for 3 weeks, I drank non-stop. And something, I don't know what it was, but there was, I opened up the big book because I've got all the literature, but I was usually too drunk to read it. And there was a little card that fell out that I'd put in there, and it was the 24-hour card. Mm. And it said something along the lines of, you don't even have to think about 24 hours. Mm. You can really break it down. You can break it down into whatever bite-sized chunks you can handle. And I thought, oh, okay, what a revelation. And I did that first day. I thought, I'm just going to break it down. I broke it down into 1 hour slots. And then the next day I remember thinking, if I go to bed really early, I can break it down and I can just be upright and awake for, you know, 10 hours. Mm. And that didn't seem, that seemed a really achievable thing to do. And I did that on the 18th of August, and I haven't had a drink since. And apart from me being astounded by it, I think my sponsor thinks truly it's a miracle. and I remember hearing this when I first came into AA, and of course I kept hearing it, people saying that their lives had changed immeasurably and their lives had just gone from you know, a ruinous pile of nothing to just a life full of contentment and good things. And I have now joined that group, and my life now is better than I ever could have imagined, and loneliness is a long, long way behind me, and just the connection, and the, I have a very strong spiritual sort of backbone, and I just look forward with eagerness and hope to tomorrow and the day after that. And my, I guess my emotional strength grows every day as well. It's like like you build your muscle. And so the trust in myself has grown as well. So I'm forever, and will be forever thankful, as will my kids, I'm sure, be grateful for the program and the people in it. And it's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you.
Thanks, Marion.
Thanks, Marion. Ka pai. That's quite a story about the struggle. And I think you've, you know, mentioned a point about AA that has been very important to me, and I think a lot of people, is that, you know, AA isn't saying, gosh, I must stop drinking today and never have another one again. Mm-hmm. That can be sometimes overwhelming for people. And but you don't have to drink today. And
that's right.
And you know, it's Saturday and we don't have to drink today.
No. Although after waking up at 3:15, it's out there as an option.
Yes. I should add, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, and David.
Talking about 4:15 at the airport, it reminds me of, you know, one of the horrifying things that still didn't stop me from drinking, but I had to take somebody to the airport at about that time, or for that 6:00 flight over to Australia, and which meant getting out to the airport by about 4:30. And coming back, I was stopped in Taranaki Street at about 7:00 in the morning by a drink driving police team, and they said, "Well, you know, you've been drinking. You should look at your reading. And if you were in Australia, you would have been over the limit." And I hadn't been drinking at 4 a.m, but it was just from the day before. And that didn't stop me. I suppose I should go into a little bit of my story there. You know, what did stop me eventually was that my GP became so alarmed that she booked me into Wellington Hospital, and the morning there, the entire gastroenterology department filed in, to my little bedside at 6:30 in the morning and said, "Well, if you have one more glass to drink, you will die, so you'd better stop now." And I thought, help. But that really did make sense to me because, there's so many specialists specially coming to tell me that. And across the road from Wellington Hospital is the Salvation Army headquarters, and they had a Saturday morning meeting there. And so I trotted across the road from the Wellington Hospital to an AA meeting, and really particularly wanted help. And it was a very good place to have gone, except that it suddenly terrified me. What happens if somebody there knew me? They'd think I was an alcoholic. And I really thought that way. A few meetings in, suddenly, my daughter's scoutmaster came in. And I just got up and ran for my life because I was still thinking, my God, I don't want my daughter's scoutmaster to think I'm an alcoholic. And this was the madness of those sorts of days. And I was very pleased anyway. I haven't had a single glass to drink after that warning by the gastroenterology department of Wellington Hospital. Thank you very much if you were listening this morning, because it was quite a warning. It was the only thing that really made me wake up. Now I should say who we are here. This is the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And you can contact AA for help or just for information or advice or anything on our phone number 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. Or go to the AA website, which is an absolute mine of information about everything to do with alcoholism and Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's aa.org.nz. You probably don't even have to put the www in front of that anymore, but you can if you want to. We'll still go through to aa.org.nz. And there's lots of information there. There's, for example, there are questions you can ask yourself, yes or no, if you're worried about being an alcoholic. And I think I went to one lot that I think there was a lot of 3 or 4 questions, and another lot that had about 20. And I'm sure I got 20 out of 20. and they're fairly subtle questions too. They, things about anybody in your household or your work worried about your drinking, and these were things. Well, yes, that was true, because they were. But then it was really none of their business, was how I thought when I was drinking, because it just seemed to be quite normal to be drinking that way. Pip, you mentioned about Saturdays. This is the miracle of AA on a Saturday. I did, which you both had, towards the end, drank 7 days a week. And on weekdays, I didn't even usually worry about the bus. I would have my glass in my flask of water, to drink on the bus to work. And I must have thought this was normal. This was extraordinary. But on Saturdays, I didn't go to work, but my partner did on a Saturday. And Saturday was a good day. I could have a quiet ale, I used to call it at home. It became infamous in my household. I would go to the Miramar New World at 7 o'clock when it opened on Saturday mornings and get 3 bottles of wine and a packet of four cans of 500 ml cans of beer, which were about, I think, about 10% alcohol. It was more than wine used to be. And I used to be desperately scared being there because somebody might, you know, I'd try to get a different checkout person each time, but that didn't work really because there aren't many checkouts open at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning.
No.
And I was sure that the checkout operator was glaring at me, you know, knowing what I was doing with it. I'd hide the wine in the basket under the newspaper, and you know, so that nobody would notice it there, and then quietly sit and drink, you know, on Saturday. And my partner would say, usually when she got home, you know, I was just completely out to it, and it was terrible. No guests would come around at 5 PM that had been arranged, and I was just there, you know, happily in the blue chair with my quiet ale in the hand, which was the beer can, but it had long since the beer had gone from it. It was topped up with wine to make it look like it was, I was just drinking beer there. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that, you know, the lengths that one would go to pretend that there was, you know, nothing wrong with drinking, and to think it was all normal than that. But I've realised with going to AA meetings that there, you know, many, many other people drank exactly the same way. They, with hiding things, having them in water bottles, topping them up, you know, not thinking that it was other people who had the problem with drinking. I don't think I realised that it was an addiction, that you could be addicted to it, which you know, didn't help. That's why you know, to go on a plane ride, especially to overseas, I would have to have my water bottle filled with wine because they couldn't give you enough wine on the plane. Even a 12-hour flight, you were lucky to get one glass. Mm-hmm. And so these were the extraordinary things. But AA, going over to AA meetings across the road from Wellington Hospital, certainly there was a big change in my life. I'm pleased. You know, it was it's a welcoming place. I found AA meetings, yeah. And the people who have very similar drinking problems that I did, but you're welcome there. You're not sort of shunned because you're some sort of drunk. It's you know, it's we've all got your problem. We can help you, and it has kept me. I at the very minimum, I mean, I would not miss at least one regular meeting each week because you know, you can feel that you're both welcome there, and I'd be too embarrassed to turn up at an AA meeting if I'd been drinking. But on the other hand, I know people who do, you're still welcome there, and people are there to help you. And I've been to meetings in other countries too, around all this country. I'm as far away as Sydney, and you know, even Berlin and Vienna. And you're welcome there just as you are here. You can go to these meetings everywhere, anywhere in the world. I think we're almost filling out our times.
Yeah.
So,
do you mind if I just say something quickly?
Yes, please.
I was just thinking, like, it's December and AA's open 24, you know, AA's open over Christmas. And I know that in my early days, I was not sure if it would be open. So, yeah, the 0800 number will work over Christmas. The website will work over Christmas. The emails and the meetings should be open over, well, will be open over Christmas.
Yes.
So I just wanted to say that. I just suddenly thought when you said about a Saturday, I was like, oh, my gosh, yes, also Christmas Day. Yep.
No, that's a very, very good point, Pip. Yeah, so all the AA meetings, you know, AA never takes a holiday. So
no.
Christmas Day is a Thursday. So the normal Thursday meetings are open. And I was at a Thursday meeting 2 days ago, and they were saying, yes, we can possibly have a Christmas party at the Christmas Day meeting. Bring along your Christmas cakes. We have very little time left here, so thank you both for coming on, you know, on this this sunny Saturday. Next Saturday, the Wellington has promised us rain again, so that will be good.
Wow.
Sun today.
Yeah.
And could we, it's been great, all of the people who've listened in here, thank you very much, and we're back in 4 weeks, and this has been the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air for Wellington on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And as always, we close our AA meetings with the Serenity Prayer. So, God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
And keep coming back at works if you work at it.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.